Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk Women are live and unleashed on the 29th of May and the 4th of July at the Pleasance Theatre in London. Announced guests are Lizzie Roper, Ulrika Johnson, Rebecca Root and Jade Adams. Go to pleasance.co.uk for tickets. And the Drunk Women will be downing Prosecco at this year's Edinburgh Fringe. You can see them from the 3rd to the 11th of August inclusive, 7:20pm at the Underbelly, Bristow Square. Tickets are now on sale at underbelly.edinburgh.co.uk.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
All right. Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Katie has brought her handbag. She's not taking any chances.
I don't trust any one of you.
We've had too many theft cases. Thank you so much for coming to Drunk Women Live. How are you guys? Oh, fantastic. We are too. We are good. Okay, listen, I had a lot of fun on Google with this one. If you listen to the podcast, you know that we do a little like alcohol meets crime thing. And I went a little silly on this one. So welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. This is where Cuba Libra meets compounding a felony. This is where a Freddy Fudpucker meets false imprisonment. And this is where a slippery nipple meets seditious libel. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime! All right, thank you for coming out. I'm joined, as always, by this lady here, screenwriter extraordinaire, a woman who loves to say the phrase butt stuff. It's Hannah George! And also we have the spectacular author and comedian, a woman who once called Game of Thrones that show with the dragons. It's Katie Wilkins!
It has dragons.
It's true. It's true. One of them is a zombie. Don't, no spoiler, I haven't started it yet.
Oh,
don't. I have a Now
on,
TV
Taylor.
Pass, and I can't figure out how to use it. So when I do. Right, before we bring out our guest for this episode, which we will do shortly, just a bit of admin. We've got a new website!
Whoa! Oh, shit.
Listen, we know.
Butt stuff.
But
apparently what I say.
We know some people in tech, and we hear that websites are the future. They're going to be huge. So check ours out. It's drunkwomensolvingcrime.com. Take a moment to appreciate the little martini icon. It's so exciting.
We've really got in on the ground floor of websites.
Oh, we have. First one ever
made. Have you heard of Twitter?
It's very good.
Speaking of which, don't forget to follow us on Pinstagram. Okay. I'm not old. We are going to have a merch site coming very soon. All I've ever wanted is to be on your chest. I'm so excited.
Hello.
But
you didn't.
But
hey, pin to chest.
I was just going to say butt stuff again, but that was better. Thank you. Come in, write for us. Okay. And just a reminder, please review us and rate us on whatever platform you use, whether that's Acast, woohoo, Acast, whether it's Spotify, iTunes. We don't judge, you know, whatever. But just rate and review us because it helps.
Yeah. But like 5 stars, don't fucking rate us if you're giving us 3. Like if you sort of don't like us, don't fucking rate us because that shit sticks. We've had like a 1 star. I think it was my dad, actually.
Hannah says butt stuff too much.
Yeah.
I know. You're not supposed to focus on... And we have very few negative reviews. But my favorite one said, maybe. There was nothing drunk or solving about this. Like, we just fucked somebody's day. It was so... Fuck this. All right. Without further ado, let's welcome our guest for this episode. It is the comedian, actor, Tiff Stevenson.
Woo! Woo!
Woo! Hello,
I went
Tiff.
Around the wrong side. Did you see that? How about that side and the microphone is so over here? Just doing a little dance behind you.
Doing a lap.
Yeah, just pulling my knickers up. It's all good. Bit of admin before I get into the brain work.
You know, I didn't think the chairs are on wheels. We could have just sent the chair to you.
Yeah.
Saved you a job.
Just pulled back the curtain and let me do the whole show from there.
Right. Tiff, thank you so much for being with us. Can you kick us off by letting us know, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have a few crimes, but listen, let's keep it upbeat and not go into any of the really dark ones. The penis-y male ones. It's just... But let's go into one that ends up being quite amusing.
Cool.
When I was 15, my parents' house got broken into.
Ooh.
And they stole all of the music. Like, they went in my bedroom, they stole all of my, like, now that's what I call music, like, 1990.
I remember
those. Yeah, every single one, except they left out 2 of my mum's CDs that were in with mine, and it was Michael Bolton and Julio Iglesias.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Such
yes.
a bird.
I was going to say, like, all burglars with taste, and then I remembered now 74 or whatever. Yeah,
like, hey, now well, 1990 when music meant something.
Yeah. So, you know, little did they know that Michael Bolton would come back one day with hair stronger than ever and being a lonely album, Lonely Island song. So that was quite funny. It was just they were picky. They were picky thieves. And probably going to put it straight into the car stereo and stuff. So, yeah.
You'd give anything to see that moment, like,
yeah.
You know,
because like,
they're actually, you know, they're not just grabbing them and running. They're like,
through.
Need it, got it. Oh, maybe that's what it was. They're like, already have it. Yeah. I don't want to deprive.
To all the girls I've loved before.
Yeah. I'm a thief. I will not steal your Bolton.
Yeah. Maybe they knew.
Yeah. It was
how could we be lovers if we can't be friends? So, yeah. So is that a light enough? Is that, you know. I'm sure there's been lots of other things, but I think that's just, it ends up being quite funny. I got over the loss quite quickly. And I think my parents were insured, so it was fine.
For CDs? They have it on their household insurance. We must put Tiffany's now.
Yeah, it's going to become a very important collection in a few years' time.
Did you replace that CD?
I replaced it recently on my iTunes. It's got stuff on it like, I got the key, I got the secret.
Oh,
maybe that.
Also, I want to point out that I didn't think it was like now 74, i.e. 74 was the year. I didn't think that you like that. Yeah,
that I'm that old.
Yeah, like, I didn't think it was that old. God, like, you just gonna be like, you fucking bitch. No, I mean, like, because it's only on
but
now.
No, but yeah. If we're talking early 90s, we're talking now 21, guys. So
are we?
Yeah. I had now 21 had Bohemian Rhapsody on it. It had Wet, Wet, Wet. Yeah, in the house.
Wet, 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 Love Is All Around, yeah. Which was number one forever.
Oh, wait.
Forever.
Wait, how does that go? I don't know that.
I feel it in my fingers.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Oh, it had Crowded House on it, too.
Oh, I like Crowdies. That would stand
it
up.
It's weird because it's all people playing. It's people playing their own music. It's like so different to pop music now.
We should turn this into a podcast called Now That's What I Call a Boring Podcast.
So you sure you don't want to talk about anything penis-y? No, don't. Mm. No need.
No, my mum did hit a man once on the train. when I was about 6 or 7, a man was on the train. Every time I looked at him, he kept rubbing his genitals.
Whoa.
And I told my mum what had happened, and she went over and punched him. So
oh,
that was
my God, that's amazing. Yeah. I love it. Round of applause for your mum.
Wow.
This is awesome.
Absolutely.
I've taken on that. So, like, the older and older I get, the more defensive I am for young women on trains.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm hyper-vigilant. I got into a fight the other week with a guy that wouldn't leave two girls alone. On the Northern Line at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. He just kept asking them where they live and suggesting and he got very angry and shouty and jabbing his finger in my face. And there's something about male ego and rejection. And that is one of the big things, I think, in this post-Me Too era, the confusion between saying you can't compliment a woman anymore, can't talk to one, and men not getting when women want to be left alone, A, at night, and B, you can still pay a compliment. It doesn't mean she's going to fuck you. Like, that's, you know, I have a line where I say, like,
I can't even demand to know where she lives anymore. Like, where do I stand if I can't get her address on a train?
Yeah. What world are we living in if I can't stalk? On my journey home. But yeah, I think I had a joke about you can still compliment, however, if it's shouted from the top of a building or out of a moving car. You know, like if the Doppler effect applies to your compliment.
Yes.
Then it's street harassment, right? So
yeah, that is a good rule of thumb.
But I think, honestly, we all look out for each other in that kind of way of like women's safety at night, as we're talking about crime, it's one of the big things. And I think sometimes even I did a thread about it on Twitter and people seem to be shocked. And then I had a few kind of dads kind of going, oh, I just spoke to my daughter about this and she says it happens all the time. So I think some men just have no idea the level at which women are constantly, there's a low level harassment that happens. And you want to get home. Like, and don't be offended if I don't want to talk to you. I once walked from the Comedy Store to Leicester Square Station. It's so close. I got stopped by 4 different guys.
Wow.
And one went, that's a good face. I just want to talk to it. And I was like,
oh my God.
I don't want to talk to you. It's like midnight. Like, why do you think this is okay?
Yeah.
So
that
line
must have worked for him at like at least once if he's still doing it.
Yeah.
Like, that's mad, isn't it?
He's like, this'll work. This is a great one.
Yeah, you must have had, right? Everyone's had this experience of just like a harassing
street
journey.
Street harassment.
It's feeling safe at night. And I think, you know, we hear stories about stuff that happens and it affects our lives in really small and big ways. You know, after stuff that happened in sort of Australia last year, I didn't want to talk about this slightly down, but
no, it's cool.
Like with Eurydice, who was a young female comic in Australia. So you can go look this up and kind of see what happened, and I won't go into the details of it here. But, you know, after that, I used to run regularly, like every other day. I've run my whole life. And about, you know, a week after that happened, I think it was, I went out running and I got really panicked because it got dark on my usual route quite quickly. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to do a shortcut and go home. And then I was like, it's fine, I'm nearly home. And then in my head I went, oh, she was nearly home. And she texted her friend to say she's nearly home. And then that's when, as a woman, you go, we just make these adjustments to our life and on we go. And that's what we do. We're just constantly trying to make ourselves safe. See, I've made it really, like, you know, like, but it's important. It's a truth. We do these minor adjustments, whether it's walking with your keys in your fingers, to, because yeah. your mum said whenever you walk home at night alone, you take these yeah. and you, yeah. you know, you yeah. have them. Yeah. 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 Or you have a comb in your bag that has a pointy end that you can stab yeah. someone in the eye with.
Oh,
or a can of hairspray.
Amy Schumer just did a bit about that. She's like, I've never thought through what I'm actually going to do with those keys. Like, take that. mm. Yeah, it's true. And I think what's so sad about it is just not being believed that, you know, you have to shout so loud for anyone to believe that this really happens, because if it doesn't happen to somebody else, they just go like, well, it's not my experience, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I tweeted about it. Here's the thing. I tweeted about this and someone immediately added did not happen of the year awards.
Wow. Oh,
and it was so mad because the two girls.
Those aren't even awards. That's what bothers me. There's no award.
It's just a shitty thing of like doubting like women. And the weird thing was is the two girls, well, actually part of the reason that I sort of stepped in as well. I couldn't not step in because the two girls recognized me.
Ah.
So, and one of them, because he was harassing them, one of them went, where did you get your handbag from? And I knew straight away that she's doing that diverting thing of someone trying to bring someone else into the conversation because he won't leave us alone. So I start talking to them and her friend went, you probably got it in America on tour, right? She's a comedian we follow on Twitter. Like, so they knew who I was. So that kind of, I felt the pressure to step in if I hadn't before, because I was like, if I talk about these things on stage and then I don't act upon them in real life.
Right.
What kind of person does that make me?
That's Tiffany Stevenson,
anybody's like walking
from the
home
telly who doesn't help people.
Yeah.
Tiffany will help you all home tonight.
I will help you.
Because she's going to fucking have to.
I will walk you all home individually. So then someone has to walk me home and then it's
wait.
Long.
Before we ask that question, cheers to walking people home and to your mum punching people.
Can I just say, like, the one time I was wolf whistled once from a moving vehicle, once in my life, and I was like, yeah! And then I realised it was genuinely the Isle of Wight Society for the Blind. Fuck is that shit? Anyway, continue, sorry.
They shouldn't be driving. One thing, Tiff, one thing we like to ask is if you could have one of these perpetrators in the room. Now, I guess you can pick whether it's the CD thief or
one of the
perps on the train. Perps on a train. That would be a good film.
That's just life, right?
What would you say to them if they were here?
I would probably point my finger at the guy on the train and just go, fucking pedo. and like, I don't know that would be... I think my mum dealt with that. The CD thief, I would say, I respect your sense of humour. I respect it. I got over this loss. It wasn't devastating. And, you know, so I try and do that kind of thing. Like, if I lose a thing, I try to be, try and do that thing of going, oh, I lost my purse and no one handed it in. Maybe whoever found it really needed the £50 that was in there. I hope you're okay. I try and do that. I'm not always that magnanimous, you know.
So you're like, I hope you're rocking out to the 90s.
Yeah.
Hope you're in a better place.
But any of the sex pests, which is probably not the best way to describe, but any of those, they go fuck yourself.
Yay. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. It was good to hear all of it. The highs and the lows. Yeah. The high being having your CDs stolen.
The dizzying highs of crime.
The greatest day of my life. All right. Guys, are we ready to veer into some true crime? Wow, I'm glad I didn't choose anything too dark tonight. I was in the mood for something a little fluffy. It's fun. It'll be good. Disclaimers, stop it. Okay. I would love to know if anyone in the audience has heard of this. It's quite a well-known case. It's the story of Princess Caribou.
Ooh. Silence.
Philistines.
All right.
I'd never heard
of that. Is that like a moose that really has a sense of entitlement? Is that Princess Caribou?
Well, let's find out, shall we? Okay. I'm going to ask where it takes place, and you might say Alberta. This is going to be great. All right, so here's how the case begins. I'm glad nobody's heard of it. I was really paranoid. I was going to be like, oh, this princess. Well, we grew up hearing stories of Princess Caribou. All right. A woman in her mid-20s is seen wandering around a village wearing clothes not common to the area. She's got a colorful dress on, with a muslin neck, a black shawl around her shoulders, and a white shawl wrapped around her head. She seems lost, and she's carrying a small bundle. This woman knocks on the door of a local cobbler and begins speaking in a language unknown to the man. But he deduces that she's asking for food and shelter. This is basically me after a weekend in Glastonbury. Like, you got any food? Is there a train in this town?
I need my shoes cobbled.
Why am I wearing this? Okay, so my first question is, what year do we think this is, and where is this?
Okay, there's a shawl, so it's either olden days or she's a hipster.
Yeah. Hipster days.
And there's a cobbler, which means it's either the olden days or a sort of tube station. Have you seen that? Occasionally they've got that in bloody Oxford Street. They've got a bloody cobbler in there.
Also combined with keys. Was there key cutting?
Yeah.
Has there been mention of keys?
Ooh, no mention of keys.
That will narrow it down.
All I know about what was in the bundle is there were some counterfeit coins in there, so I don't know if that helps. Mm.
A bundle sounds a bit Dick Whittington. So that kind of ages it, doesn't it? You know, no one ever talks about, you know, excess baggage. I've got some excess bundles, guys. can I get on the plane with my excess bundle?
Even hipsters have rucksacks.
Or bum bags. Bum bags are back.
Oh, all right, yeah. Let's throw out a guess of a year. Throw out a guess of a year.
1851.
Ooh, very nice, very nice. Not far off at all.
You're just going to tell.
Okay. No, just not far off at all. Good job, butt stuff. Detective butt stuff. Oh my God, merch. Like, who wouldn't wear that t-shirt?
I'll buy it for my father. Yeah. So I meant, because I mentioned him earlier, not that he likes butt stuff. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
1868.
Okay. A little bit further away, but it's all right.
Okay. Let's say...
This is the least fun part of the podcast, and I don't know why I do it every time. Like, guess the year!
I'm guessing.
1856.
All right. The answer I can now reveal is 1817. So well done for not thinking it was...
Hannah was the closest.
I can also see it. Like, okay. I can literally see it.
Hey. I went for size 16 font this time like you do, because I can never read, so now I'm all excited. All right. And where are we? What country are we in? What's going on?
My chair is so wheely. I go there and I just keep smooshing into
it. It's really unsettling, isn't it? Like, I was so excited about it and now I just feel unhinged. And
I feel like it might be Bethlehem. Just because it has a Jesus vibe, right? That she's like, I need like food, I need water, I need board. Maybe she's pregnant.
It's 18.
What? Is that the bundle?
Yes! 17.
By counterfeit coin, I meant bastard child. Yes.
What a way to describe Jesus. That is like...
I mean, technically...
But I mean, technically he is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they really don't play up that part of the story.
Oh, Mary. Oh, Mary. All right. What country are we in?
Why was everyone called Mary then, by the way, as well? Like, his mum was, his girlfriend was. A bit weird. Anyway.
It's a lot of Mary. You're right.
So Freudian.
Right. When they were making it up, you'd think they'd come up with more original names. So it's just not brilliant writing.
I'm gonna say the UK.
Well done, Katie!
Oh! And I didn't even cheat like Hannah.
You've rolled away because you can't help yourself.
I genuinely will cheat. I'll be here. It's fine.
This is how they get by in the Isle of Wight. Just cheating, cheating, cheating. Okay. Yes, we are in Almondsbury, Gloucestershire, 8 miles north of Bristol. Okay.
Wow.
The cobbler.
Brizzle. You have to Brizzle. Say Brizzle.
Yeah. Sorry. I can't pull that off, Tiff. Brizzle.
Tell me where it was again.
Almondsbury.
It was Almondsbury, which is about five miles south of Brizzle. A lot of ley lines there, a lot of spiritual activity.
Nice. Oh, I didn't bank on an accent. This is exciting. All I can do is roll, but she can do an accent. Okay, so this cobbler wants to help the woman. So question, is she good looking?
Damn right she is.
Whoa. Well, I think Hey-o. What that lady's saying is slim bloody pickings, isn't it? Slim pickings around here.
According to several sources, she was beautiful. How does the cobbler's wife feel about her staying with them?
Great.
Great. She's like, this is what our marriage has needed.
We need a hot chick to move in.
Yes.
That's what I need.
I fantasize about women with shawls and muslin necks. No, it's a no from the cobbler's wife. She's not.
Not that, darling. No, it's a no.
It's a no.
No from me.
It's a no. You go, why don't you go throw that pent up energy into some shoes? Just, you can put heels on them if you need, and I'll, whatever. Yeah, she takes her to someone in the town called the Overseer of the Poor, whose name is Mr. Hill. And before you think that this is someone who, you know, looks after the poor, that it's some sort of welfare state, his job was to bring anyone suspected of vagrancy to the justice of the peace.
Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Excellent. Question, does he suspect anything, Mr. Hill? Do you think she's a vagrant?
Well, does he check her coins and how real they are?
They do. Everyone knows that they have that she's got counterfeit coins, aka Jesus.
Well, that's...
How hard is muslin to come by? Because they used to cook a lot
it's
with
expensive.
It, so it can't have been... Oh. Was it, though? Because they used to wrap puddings and shit in it.
Is that what they wrapped, like, a proper pudding? Like
like clouty
dumpling. Whoa! That's how you open a bottle.
In Scotland, they have a thing called clouty dumpling, and that's wrapped in muslin.
Yeah.
So certain, or so, like certain types of, you know, when you're trying to keep the moisture in.
Yeah.
That muslin was often used to...
I don't really know what muslin is.
It's not just face cloths from Liz Earle, guys. Back in the day, they would use it for cooking.
No. Mr. Hill is not very suspicious. He's more intrigued by this stranger. And instead, he takes her to the local magistrate, a Mr. Samuel Worrell.
Wait. So the justice of the peace that's supposed to, like, put poor people in prison.
The overseer of the poor.
The overseer of the poor.
Doesn't even take her to the justice of the peace.
Oh, right.
Pops her over to the magistrate.
Is this because he wanted to...
Yeah. He wanted her to be so grateful with her pretty face.
There is much talk of her face. That's a face I want to talk to. It's been happening. It's been happening for hundreds of years.
Is it relative, though? Because they used to say Queen Elizabeth was beautiful, didn't they? And then they would paint her. But I think, like, Mercury... like, they would paint her in a very, like... give an attractive portrayal of her, but there was like lead or something or mercury or something in the makeup, and her skin was like falling off by the end.
Oh, wow.
And then I don't know, did she have the syphilis or the hep? I don't know, maybe one of them. I don't know. They all the royals used to get syphilitic.
Yeah.
Tertiary is the stage you really got to look out for, because that's when the madness kicks in. Yeah.
Ooh.
So yeah, just know about me old classic STDs there from back in the
I didn't know we were inviting this fountain of knowledge here today. This is amazing. Thank you. Keep chiming in.
I've had all of those.
What was your favourite?
The one when I went mad. I haven't had a single one.
Like, the audience didn't like that.
They didn't! Oh, we thought she was a...
They were like, back then, you would have been passed around Bristol as a clean girl. A clean one. Pass around, she's a clean one. She's a clean one.
Now that would be a great thing to shout out of a car. Oh yeah, baby, you look STD free. Woo! Never heard that.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay. Mr. Samuel Worrell takes pity on the woman and invites her into his home, where he and his wife try to communicate with her, but to no avail. Elizabeth, Samuel's wife, is quite taken with her and arranges for accommodation at the local inn known as The Bowl. Now, The Bowl still exists. You can go and visit it.
Is it a Wetherspoons?
That's a really good question. Like, I don't know if it's like a Fuller's.
I'm just trying to work out whether I'd visit it, because I definitely would if it was a Wetherspoons.
So Samuel's wife did like her.
Yeah, Samuel's wife.
Samuel's wife Liz sounds like Liz. She's like a girl's girl. but the first wife was like
Cobbler's wife was threatened. Elizabeth was a little Elizabeth bit more like, secure in herself, got, I guess.
I got a friend, a potential friend, an ally.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. All right. Okay. I mean, how fun can a magistrate be in bed? I don't know. one might ask. So Samuel's wife, yeah, very taken with her. Go to The Bowl. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to go to The Bowl. Try the jacket potato. While she's at this inn, at the time, it was all the rage to decorate everything with fruit. So there are paintings of fruit on the wall. And she points to this.
Sorry, no, carry on.
It's just a fun fact that I thought was fun. She points to a pineapple and says, "Nanas," which is an Indonesian word for pineapple. Now, the effect of this in this tiny town is electrifying. Everybody goes crazy. Wow. They are sure that this woman must be from, Asia. They don't really understand where, but they're like, she's from Asia.
Wait,
she knows this
French
language.
The French for pineapple, is that not ananas? Okay, so.
There you go.
Yeah, so maybe that it's.
Ananas.
Ananas,
ananas.
Because it always freaked me out that it sounded like more like banana. I was like, why are they calling a pineapple not a banana, though? It's my general attitude doing GCSE French. What are these clans doing? And yeah,
that's amazing you remember that, because if somebody would ask me, like, what's the French word for banana, I would just be like, oh, it's le banane. With complete confidence. So I'm glad you're here to be factual. That's good. Okay. They're electrified. Witnesses are convinced that she's from this crazy homeland in Asia, and rumors fly. There's this attractive, exotic stranger in our village. Mrs. Worrell hears about this back at home with Samuel. What does she do? What does Liz do when she hears that this woman
everyone's going
has
crazy.
Been sort of, yeah, sort of pointing at pineapples?
Naming fruit.
Naming fruit.
Who is this witch? With different words for things.
Burn her! She named a fruit.
Did she hire her as a cook or something like that? Was she so excited by her culinary knowledge?
Well, not far off. She invites her back to the house. She says, wait, maybe we should put her up. Why does The Bowl get all the excitement?
Just because she said Nana.
Wait, is this
it's 1817, man. Like,
is that the cobbler's wife wanting her back?
No, this is the magistrate's wife.
Oh, okay.
Cobbler's wife is still
magistrate's wife's
bitter
in
and
a hotel and then went, this bitch knows about pineapples. Get her back.
Bring her back. Okay.
I mean, we can tin this shit.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on board.
Well, I remember learning how excited everybody got about pineapples. Like, they're all over Colonial Williamsburg and stuff. Because it was a big deal to be able to afford a pineapple.
Yeah. They were the iPods of their day.
I ate three a day, man. I'm loaded. Okay. So she invites her back to the house. And she starts displaying some curious habits, including sleeping on the floor. Glastonbury, going up on their roof to pray, Jesus. And she finally introduces herself. She says her name is Caribou, and she apparently only ate vegetables and drank tea.
She was a vegan.
I guess.
Oh, I was with her until now.
What does Samuel Worrell think about all this? Does he approve of it? What does the magistrate feel about this odd behavior?
What, of eating vegetables?
I mean, he doesn't need to.
And going up on the roof and praying. Oh, and allegedly she would swim. This was a great line. It said, sometimes she would swim in the lake naked when she was alone. And I'm like, well, it sounds like somebody was there.
I mean, does he need to have an opinion? Why does he care what if she eats vegetables?
Is he like Colin Firth's character in Love Actually? When he meets a Portuguese woman and goes, she's so free. Not anymore. Mine! We don't speak the same language, but yet I know she wants to be with me.
Is that the one that they fat shame for the whole movie?
Martine McCutcheon, who's a size 12. Max! Yes.
And that's not even the worst thing about that movie.
Guys, we could talk about that movie.
I know, I'm so sorry. Okay. He does not approve of all this. Suddenly, Liz is like, she's amazing. I'm so glad we invited her. And Sam's like, I'm not so sure about it. He wants her tried for vagrancy now. It's like, it was fine when you showed up with your little bundle, but don't go on my roof to
pray. Direction was she facing when she prayed?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a very good question.
He's just so freaked out that she doesn't eat meat. He's like, right, done.
Yeah, like, was it all meat or was it certain types of meat? Because we could be feeling some religious intolerance from Samuel.
Yeah, no, that's could a very be what's good happening, guess. Yeah, you know. And there seems to be something about her choosing that diet, which would be very rare at the time, you know, to just eat vegetables and tea when you're in Almondsbury.
Yeah, and using...
Land of lamb, I'm assuming.
Indonesian / French words for pineapples.
But Liz convinces him not to act on this just yet, and people in the town start to come visit Princess Caribou as she reveals herself to be.
She
becomes an exhibit. They visit her like she's head of state.
This is like when we got a Tesco's in Ventnor. Like in my hometown, genuinely, everyone was like, have you been? Have you seen it? Oh, it's incredible.
Every time I went to the Isle of Wight, which was quite a lot because we did it on school trips, it was relentless, like, they used to smuggle here. Smuggling would happen. And then we go to a smuggling museum and go, oh, look, there's a mannequin of a man with a barrel of some stuff. Smuggling it in.
I had an asthma attack in that smuggling museum.
Yes!
Damn right I did.
I forgot that there was a smuggling museum.
It's shut down now. It's toilets. Anyway, sorry. Let's carry on.
Yes.
We're in Bristol.
Okay. After 10 days of this, people are visiting
her.
Are
they charging for these visits? They're just getting free looks at...
That's a good question. I don't know if anybody was profiting. I think they were just letting people show up. Okay. Liz probably had to cater. I don't know. A Portuguese sailor shows up and he is fat shamed. Not really. Portuguese sailor shows up mysteriously and he's able to translate Caribou's language. So this is when she says, sorry, I got ahead of myself. This is when she says, I am Princess Caribou. I am from Javasu, an island in the Indian Ocean. She says that she's been kidnapped by pirates.
Wow.
And that she escaped by jumping into the Bristol Channel and swimming ashore.
One of the things that she says to the translator, no me tocas. Because that would very much fit in with the theme of harassment that we've been talking about so far.
What does that mean?
It's one of the first things I learned in Portuguese, which means don't touch me.
Oh, wow. Oh, I just got back from Portugal. I wish I'd had that.
That would have been so handy. I had to learn it because...
Just to say it to my daughter. I was like... Oh.
I taught...
Me alone. So much family time.
Mummy's hungover. No me tocas.
Oh, that's interesting.
I used to teach salsa and it was the one thing that I had to learn for like creepy guys that would like get too close during the dance. No me tocas.
Have you heard that Tig Notaro has a great bit about the fact that in, I think it's in Spanish or something, the expression no moleste. Yeah, which is it's great.
Yeah, they have it on doors of hotel rooms.
No moleste.
Presumably, if you do want to be moleste, there's that option as well, right? Like, make my room up would be moleste. I don't know. When you find out the origin of a lot of words, it explains why so much misogyny exists. Like, I only recently found out that vagina is Latin for sore teeth.
What? Like,
yes! I have to stop. It's one of my favourite words. I've got to stop using it.
I love
knocking
vagina.
About. Yes!
That's one of the... Not so keen on vulva. No. I don't like clitoris.
Isn't it nice to say, how's your vag? How's your vag?
Man. Well, then we're taking it back. Now it's vag,
yeah.
As someone that does live action roleplay, I'm absolutely... My sore teeth is just like...
Yeah, and after you've had kids, it's more like... It's more like a sword bag, you know, like Princess Caribou continues to charm the town, dancing for them, using a bow and arrow, writing in symbols. Her authenticity is verified by a Dr. Wilkinson, who says that scars on her head are the work of an Oriental surgeon. This was like 200 years BW before woke, so they just said Oriental surgeon. Question, guys, is Caribou really a princess? What do you think?
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah.
If she's got incisions on her head. Mm. Now, are they in the? Are they at either side of her temple where some trepanning may have taken place? Because
they're on the back of her head.
They're on the back.
They're
of
back
her head.
Here, like where we used to do undercuts in the 90s.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. That could still be a little bit of lobotomy. It's not necessarily prefrontal. So I'm just trying to think this through because it could be. Because I didn't even realize till recently that they had plastic surgery, like going back to like how it like 400.
So the answer is no. She is not a princess.
I was trying to look at the evidence in front of me and do
no,
it.
No, I really appreciate that.
Very methodical.
That's good. You did.
What were the scars from? Were they blunt force?
You did more than Dr. Wilkinson did. How long does she fool people in this town that she's Princess Caribou?
Well, it's Bristol, isn't it? So I'm joking, like Bristol's great. Like maybe like a year, I think.
Is it the person that just said 300 years? Are you from Bristol or do you just hate Bristol?
Don't answer that. We don't need to know.
She fools them for 3 months. The jig is up when a landlady in Bristol recognizes the description of her in a newspaper and says that she stayed with her.
Ooh.
And knows nothing of this she's dress got previous. Language.
So she's just a Bristol woman calling herself Princess Caribou. Yeah.
Not from Bristol.
All right, that's a nana, that is.
She's
that's a bloody nana on the wall.
So she's confronted. What does she do? What does Princess Caribou do when she's confronted? Oh. Are you legit? What does she say?
She...
What does she do?
Suddenly can speak loads of languages.
Is there? Well, basically, yes. She just starts speaking English.
Oh my God!
She's like, yeah, sorry, my name's Mary.
Is it Mary?
Another Mary! My name's Mary, mother of Jesus. I mean,
girlfriend of Jesus.
I really didn't see it going that way, but it worked out really well. Her name is Mary Wilcox, and she's from Devon. And she's the daughter of a cobbler.
Yes!
Yeah.
I love it. She's like, I got to find me a cobbler.
Yeah. So Mr. Worrell had, at one point when he's thinking, oh, she's a vagrant, this isn't real, he had sent off her writing to Oxford University where it was declared a humbug language. They say the same about American English, so you know.
God.
A pinch of salt. Language.
So the scars on her head were scars from a crude wet cupping operation. Any guesses what wet cupping is?
Is it
Hannah, take it away.
Is it when you have sex in a shower? Is that not the joke you thought? Is that like wet cupping? No?
Does that oh, not... that noise it makes. Yeah.
No, I just meant like cupping.
Oh, not the noise it makes.
What did you think I was going to say? Is it butt stuff?
Well, you know that there's like a squelchy.
I do not.
Is it a it's mental fine. Health thing? Again, is it going to be some kind of
yes.
attempt at a brain operation?
Yeah.
Which of women back in the day, you know, if we were out there. This yeah. is what, this is, if we want to talk crime, can I just say this before we finish? The fucking Kennedys.
This is not where I saw this going.
Trepanned one of their own children. Rosemary Kennedy was seen as too high-spirited. She was something like 21 years old at the time. And they went, she's too out there. She's yeah. too high-spirited. And they gave her a fucking lobotomy. And then she went to the mental capacity of like a 7 or an 8-year-old and was like doubly incontinent. And that's what they used to do to any woman who was outside of like high-spirited or seen as unusual and not fitting in with society. You had to fucking half your brain lopped off.
Yeah.
Because the past...
Well, you're going to love this
past,
expression.
The past were cunts.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, not at all. I was just thinking, you're going to love this expression. This procedure was intended to relieve pressure on an overheated brain.
Oh, God.
AKA a woman who thinks. Yeah. So the back of the head was shaved. The skin was scarred with parallel blades and hot glasses applied to catch the blood. The procedure was carried out in a poorhouse in London, and Mary said she played Princess Caribou because she just wanted to seem more interesting. Oh. Is she arrested?
Yeah.
I think she's going to be put into one of the many asylums that they had that people would go and pay a penny to laugh at people
in. She's too pretty.
Yes! Oh. Yes, Mary.
It's Hail nice to Mary. Be good looking if you're gonna be oppressed.
So many choices.
Just make sure that you always display your lovely breast.
Okay. She has charmed everyone so much that they pay for her to go to Philadelphia.
What, in America?
Yeah.
They pay for her to get on a boat.
And when she goes there, she's got this notoriety. Everybody, like the cat's out of the bag, but everybody wants to see Princess Caribou. So she starts performing it as a character.
Okay.
Does the show go well?
Yes.
The
please?
Article I read just said the show did not go well.
Oh, man.
But who knows? It could be like The Scotsman. I don't know. She stays in America for 7 years, but she had the acting bug by then. She returns to the UK. She does some more shows here as Princess Caribou. How do the shows go?
Better in here?
The article I read just said not well.
Oh, yeah.
But Mary eventually meets a man, settles down, and finds a normal job in the field of medicine. So my last question is, what was her job?
A job in the field of medicine,
mm-hmm.
Which at that time is what, putting leeches on people?
Bingo.
Oh my god, really?
She collects.
I love that cheer for actual knowledge. You've had loads.
Well, there's, done.
There's a name for that job, isn't there? There's,
she's a leecher.
A leecher, that's it, right. Okay, yeah, there you go. I knew that. No.
She collects and sells leeches. She sold them to the Bristol Infirmary, I think it was called. I forgot to write that
down. Did she breed them as well? Because that's what they used to do. They'd breed the...
She probably did, because why would you go catch them if you can grow them yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's why I have a basil plant.
So what you're saying is Jesus is a leech. I mean, that's not what she was saying.
Interesting.
I know
she has
a
daughter. Sorry, I've got to hustle this along. She has a daughter who also goes on to be a leecher too.
Oh, okay.
It's what we all want for our kids. but just when you think that maybe this hoax didn't amount to much, you know, sort of a happy ending, but sort of a pedestrian ending, her life was made into a movie in 1994 starring Phoebe Cates. And it was one of her last roles before she retired, so all is not lost. I don't know if that's why she retired.
What's that?
It really doesn't look good. It's called Princess Caribou, but, you know, check it out.
Is that the same Phoebe Cates who's in Gremlins?
Yes, and okay. She was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which we could also analyze for misogyny for a long, 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 long time.
Maybe if they throw water on the leeches at night. Anyway, I don't know.
Right. So here's to being a good-looking con artist in a time when, if you didn't have much going for you, at least she had that. But I think she also had one hell of an overheated brain.
Cheers!
Mr. Right. Overheated Brains.
Woo. Cheers. I love chinking plastic glasses.
Right. Don't worry, that's 5 minutes fast. It keeps me on time. It's time for our audience crime. Do we have a Georgina in the house?
There she is.
Oh, hi. Oh, you're right there. Hello.
Oh, do you want me to come to you? I'll come to you.
It can Thank stretch. You. Hi, Georgina.
Hi. Yay.
Can you tell us about your crime?
Yeah, so we came home from holiday about 6 months ago and we were being like super cool and playing Scrabble in the dining room. And the light...
I don't even find that cool. I'm like...
That is cool.
I'm glad.
That's
in
good.
The right place.
Yeah.
And we dimmed the lights a little bit, you know. Romantic Scrabble.
Yeah, atmospheric Scrabble.
And we noticed there was like this stain, like this massive splatter on the wall.
Ooh.
Like it was going from like the top of the wall and all over the ceiling.
Oh.
And it's clearly like someone's tried to clean it up. Now, I know I didn't do it.
Ooh.
My wife claims she didn't do it.
Oh.
On the fence.
Uh-oh.
And no one else we've asked has owned up to it.
Is your wife present here?
Yeah.
Would she like to make a comment?
Licked it and it's definitely not wine.
And you know, so nobody.
I don't think I can top that. I think
we're getting divorced next week.
Okay.
That's good.
And nobody, just a couple more questions before we. Don't worry, we got this. We handle this.
Right.
We handle stains all the time. Did anyone have access to your house? Do you have a spare set of keys that's with anybody?
Nope.
No. And do you live in what do you call it, a freestanding house, a flat? Is anybody above you?
No. And it's definitely not come down from the room above. Okay. Ooh. And it's definitely created since we painted that room.
Is it on the window side of the building?
No.
And have you had any parties where you got drunk and you might not remember anything happening?
Okay. I mean, it's always possible.
And do you live in London?
No, just outside.
Just outside.
Can I ask a question? Am I allowed? Yeah. Is it in the shape of a stigmata or anything that can happen on a...
Shit, now you come to mention it. The extra bundle was...
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Like, you can rule out
people
religious.
See Jesus in toast, you know.
Yeah.
It's possible that it could be in a sealing stain.
Is it still there?
Yeah.
Can you photograph it and tweet it to us, please?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay, we should grab the mic back just because I've got to wrap it up. Thank you so much, Georgina! Yay! Now,
just really briefly, now I've got the mic
less back. Experienced detectives would write that off as damp. But I think there was a grisly murder in your house while you were gone.
Can I ask what color it was?
Red.
Oh.
I rest my case.
For the podcast listeners, Taylor just went backwards on her wheelie chair. It's boring admin, but we've got to do it. What color really was it?
Red.
It was red and you licked it. I can't get over the licking.
I'm impressed. That is scientific investigation.
Have you checked? Okay, I lived in a place with white walls or whatever you guys call it here. What's the color that everybody paints their walls here? Magnolia. That's the one.
I love like half.
And I thought same thing magnolia. Was happening. This red was starting to come through, and then I actually met the person that had lived in the place before we had, and they'd painted the walls red. Is there any chance that there's red paint under your?
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're a house owner and you live... like, no sympathy.
Apparently, when they bought the house, it was sandblasted?
Yeah, it was
a Moroccan theme. Just because for the podcast.
Can we come over? That sounds so nice. I need more friends outside of London. Hannah, so you wanted to say something.
No. I think it was probably... I think somebody shut up the wall. Bust up!
crowbar in butt stuff.
I feel like that was given to me and now I have to.
It's all right. I said bag sheath. I mean, I win the gross award. Yeah, I think we solved that, right?
Yeah, well, we didn't make it worse.
It is shit stigmata. Go figure out who it is. Go figure out who it is. What if it's Michael Bolton?
Oh my
this
God.
Whole thing.
Or Julio Iglesias. And Enrique.
Either or.
Doing a duet.
Either or. Right. We need to finish up. Thank you again, Georgina. Thank you so much. That was more fun than I ever thought a stain anecdote would ever be. And I've had a lot of them. Tiff, thank you so much for being here. To round things out, is there anything that you'd like to plug? Tell us what you're up to. And
you're in Edinburgh.
Fucking saving Edinburgh. Women on tubes. That's what you're up to.
Saving. I am policing the tubes. I'm in Edinburgh. I'm doing a show called Mother, and the poster is me pregnant with myself. If that tickles you, which it clearly does some people in the audience, then come see the show. I don't know. It's going to be about what I hope my vision for the future is going to be. I give birth to a vision of the future.
Cool.
But also drag from my loins the reality of what it might be.
Ooh.
Which is probably t-shirt feminism and Jordan Peterson. So I want to talk a bit about class and homelessness, which again makes it sound really upbeat, but I've been in America a lot and fuck, it's kind of terrifying. So I want to talk about, you know, lineage, heritage, inherited wealth. I'm making it sound so funny, guys. Here's what I like to try and do. I like to try and take topics where someone would look at it and go, don't fucking bother, that ain't funny. And then try and see if I can make it funny.
Yeah.
Or try and kind of, you know, my opinions and thoughts about it. And so that, it's at the Monkey Barrel and they do Fair Fringe and...
What time?
What time?
It's 9:50.
Okay.
So check out Tiff's show. Anything else that we should know about?
I got a Twitter and an Instagram. I don't know how the fucking Instagram works. I do know that the lighting in toilets is really good. But no matter how good the lighting is, there is the knowledge that someone laid a cable in there like 10 minutes earlier. So I don't know how sexy it can all be. So I'm trying to do that. And I've got a podcast coming out
Ooh.
With Lush. Bath bombs.
Fucking love them.
Yes, yes. Oh. Lush. I like to call them, well, because they make soap, but they also do all this other activism. I sort of call them Ethical Fight Club because they do that. So
we should not be talking about them.
Yeah. So, yes, yeah. First rule. First rule, Hannah. First rule, correct.
Stick with bath stuff.
So, yeah, so it's... stick with bath
stuff. I'm so
sorry.
Don't
put a bath bomb up there.
I wish my husband would.
I don't know what to do with that.
Just trust me.
It's. Do I tell you what it's called? I don't know if it's kind of been stained now, but it's called. It's called Tiny Revolutions. And it's based on the Orwell quote that each joke is a tiny revolution. Mm. So it's, I feel like comedy is kind of, you know, moment people are seeing comedy in quite a negative light. And this is sort of about how comedy can be a force for societal change and a force for good. In fact, Chappie, who you've got on the next show, was my first guest on it. So I'm very excited.
So check out your show and check out your podcast. I can't wait to listen to it. Thanks again to Tiff Stevenson. Yay! We have been Drunk Women Solving Crime.
You've heard the podcast, now buy the merch. There's a full range of certified organic cotton t-shirts, jumpers and hoodies all on the website. Just go to drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.